Angelus Choir, along with some of their alumni, adding their voices to our worship today. Friends, as the offering plates are continuing to come among us, I simply invite you to stand and join me in the doxology as we dedicate these gifts here this morning. As the psalm says, as the psalmist says, I lift my eyes up to you who are enthroned in the heavens, and behold the eyes of the servants, and look to the hands of their master as the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress. So the eyes look to the Lord our God to have mercy upon us. God, add your mercy to these gifts and these givers, and then send them out of this place to make a difference. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Paul.
Weaver of worlds, you knit us into communities, bound to each other and to you, but we come unraveled, sure that we don't need others, disconnected from the deep pattern, neglecting and rejecting those whose lives travel perpendicular to ours. Forgive us, Lord. God made each of us a unique thread, each essential to the beautiful tapestry. And no matter how far we may unwind, the artist will weave us back into the design. Thanks be to God. Now join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we turn our corner towards Christmas into these 4 weeks of Advent, our series is going to be called, Do You Hear What I Hear? We're going to be taking a look at one of those traditions that we sometimes take for granted during the Christmas season, and that's the music that we sing. I don't know what Christmas was like growing up in your house, but this first weekend of December, usually, the Christmas tree went up and the Christmas records came out, right? And along with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, we also had Elvis Presley's Christmas, right? And in between of those kinds of singing, the songs would fill our living room, and then they would go away, and then they would come back out again each year. We look forward to the songs that we sing this season. So as a way of preparing ourselves for Christmas's coming, we thought we would highlight one of those favorite songs each and every week to look at what the words tell us and what the story teaches us about who we are and who God would have us be. We begin this season with that great Advent song, O Come, Emmanuel. Hear it now and experience its mystery.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us." When Jesus woke up, he did just as the angel from God commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. But he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Joseph called him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's the oldest song we still sing. O come, Emmanuel. It dates back to the 8th century. It's the oldest of the songs that we sing. Originally, it was sung in Latin. It was written in the monasteries, sung by monks. It's called the Great Antiphons of the Church. 8 verses, each of them talking about the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ. They were chanted back and forth. The cantor would start the verse in Latin, and the congregation or the choir would respond back. And from the studies of looking back, sometimes that chanting of this "O come Emmanuel" would go on for 10, maybe 15, maybe even sometimes 20 minutes of just back and forth chanting, O come Emmanuel," back and forth. The oldest, most ancient of the holiday songs dates back 1,200 years. We've still been singing and wanting and waiting for the longing of Emmanuel. I wondered what that song must have sounded like in those ancient monasteries, sung in Latin, the old language of the faith. That's why it's great to have Caleb around, because you can call him and say, "Hey, do you Gregorian chant?" "Do I?" This is what it might sound like, might have sounded like.
Oh, Adonai, et justumus Israel, qui Moisi in inia flammi rubi apparuisti. Et in sina legem dedisti, veni ad redimendum nos, in brachio extento.
Your turn. Right? The beauty of the O Antiphons probably would have been lost to us as Latin no longer became the language of the faith. That great ancient hymn might have been lost forever if it wasn't for this guy. This guy right here, John Mason Neal. He's the one credited with translating that great Latin text that Caleb just sang for us into the English that you just heard and that you'll hear again and sing together at the end of the service. What's important to know, though, is about this guy's story and the story that gave birth to this song and why he went, I believe, and found it and decided to breathe new life into it. Because, you see, John Mason Neal was a priest in the Church of England in the mid-19th century. He was a brilliant man by all accounts. He could speak anywhere of up to 20 different languages, read and write in each of those languages. He was brilliant, Cambridge educated, graduated at or near the top of his class. And then he got out of school and he was ready to go out and get a church, and they just didn't know what to do with this guy. He just was too smart to go anywhere. They didn't know what to do with them. And as smart people sometimes are, at least I've been told they are, he kind of had a way of doing everything. And he wasn't afraid to tell his bishops, like, you're not doing it right. Do you know that bishops don't like to be told by young pastors that they're not doing it right? Right? So they had a little thing called church conflict. Can you imagine church conflict? 200 years ago, they had some church conflict, a little church controversy, a little church politics. Suddenly, this young pastor, fresh out of seminary, with all the credentials in the world, got his first assignment. He was assigned to a small church off a small island, the Madeira Islands, off the coast of Africa. Take that, young hotshot. Let's see how you do down there. Every once in a while, the bishop goes, you want to serve in the UP? Then get it together, right? Well, here's the amazing thing. Sent to this little island, this poverty-stricken island off the coast of Africa, where his salary was $27 a month. Sent there to exile, sent there to be punished, sent there to learn his lesson. This young pastor, who was smart and brilliant beyond his years, also loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what was supposed to be punishment for him became ministry to the people of the island. For he was committed to doing God's work no matter where they sent him. That's what they say to us as United Methodist pastors. You know, we can send you anywhere. And I say, wherever you send me, I'll do God's work there. And so they sent him to this little island off the coast of Africa, and within 3 years, he opened the island's first orphanage to take care of those lost kids. If Ben and Christian were around, they'd be on that island helping him repair bikes today. Because that's what he set out to do. He created the first school in the area to educate girls, to educate women. Shouldn't be such an earth-shattering thing, but 200 years ago, that was still radical on the cutting edge of the world. He created a ministry that gave relief and respite and restoration to prostitutes, women who worked the streets now suddenly could hold themselves in a new way and found themselves becoming women religious and leaders in the life of the church. He was sent to that island to be in exile, to be in punishment. And there, on that lonely island, he found work and ministry. And on the Sunday, we light the first candle of hope. I believe he knew hope. So it's any surprise that here is John Mason Neal, sent to exile on this little island. This man who was brilliant in all these languages finds and rediscovers the great Latin text called the O Antiphon. And I imagine as he sat there on some of those nights singing to himself, O come Emmanuel, come God with us, who yearn in lonely exile right here until the Son of God appears. So when we sing that song at the end of the service, and when you sing that song next year on the first Sunday of Advent, remember John Mason Neal. And remember that that song came from a place of really feeling like God had abandoned him, only to discover that in the midst of his loneliness, in his exile, and his separation, that God intended the best work for him yet. That is the song that sets the beginning of this season. O come, Emmanuel. What's interesting about this hymn that we sing always, usually on the first Sunday of Advent, is it's really not a Christmas song. As my liturgist friends will constantly remind me that it isn't Christmas yet. It's an Advent song, and in Advent, you should sing Advent songs. You know how many Advent songs you know? One. This is it. There's no station today playing 24/7 Advent music, right? But we start 4 weeks before Christmas reminding ourselves that it's not Christmas yet. And we need to remind ourselves that it hasn't come yet, because the world around us would like us to know and think that Christmas is in full swing right now. Amen? You already feel the pressure to be in full swing of Christmas today? 27 days away, and the world is telling you, you are already late. And so we need Advent so I can come up here and tell you it's not here yet, so stop fretting and worrying. It's not here yet. November 1st, WNIC switched to 24/7 Christmas music. I don't need to hear the Beach Boys sing about Christmas ever again. How many renditions of O Holy Night can the Beach Boys or Neil Diamond do, right? When did the Christmas stuff come into the stores? 4th of July. The world around us wants to tell us that Christmas is here because they're selling us a Christmas that's different than the Christmas we want and the Christmas we need. And so that's why we start in Advent with a song that says, we are waiting. We are waiting. We aren't just waiting for Christmas Eve and the parties and the presents. We're waiting for Christ to come right now and set this world right. We are waiting for that. And that's why we need Advent, to remind us that it's not here yet and that we're still waiting. And so we sing that song, O come, Emmanuel. And I think that very first phrase, O come, is so important for what it means to be a people of Advent, to be a people who are still waiting for Christmas, who are still waiting for Christ to come. And here's where I think we sometimes get it wrong, because we have taken this sentiment of pleading and waiting and yearning for God to come, and we've said it so poetically in the music that it sounds like, O come. I think you gotta really understand it by taking on your like frustrated parent voice. Oh, come! Come here! Right now! Right? Like you're yelling at the dog. Right? Come here! Right? It's not so much now, but when my kids were like in that 3 to 5 range, I mean, that's all I said was, come here! Get out of there! And come here. Get out of the road. Come here. No, here. Right here. Get off the couch. Stop. Jump. Come here. I don't care how much television. I don't care what show you're in the middle. We're having dinner right now. Come here. I'm trying to make a family memory, darn it. And you're ruining it. And my wife's like, I think your attitude is ruining it. And I'm like, you can go there. Right? To understand that wanting and yearning, I think you gotta take on that frustrated parent kind of voice that says, come here. God, come here. Come here right now. Because when you are telling somebody to come here, you are saying that where you are right now is not where I need you to be. Get out of the road. Come here. Because where you are is not where I need you to be. And here on this first Sunday of Advent, we dare to sing out to God in our most wanting, expecting voice. God, where you are is not where we need you to be right now. Come here. Come right here. So what is it that you are waiting for? What are we waiting for? Years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah reminded the people of what it is they were waiting for. 700 years they had been waiting. All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's what we're waiting for. This sense, this knowing that God is with us. That's why you come here every Sunday, hoping to leave here feeling that God is just a little closer today than he was when you walked through the doors this morning. We want, we yearn for God to be with us, to God to be among us, to God to be with us and for us, for God to finally forgive us, for God to set this world right. And that's what we're waiting for this morning. Can I be honest with you? I got a bit of a weight problem. I don't like waiting. Anybody else got a weight problem? Anybody else not like waiting for anything? Right? I don't like waiting in line. I'm like that guy at Disney World who's like, let's sneak to the front. Bridget, I'm sneaking to the front. No, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm not going to wait in line all here. Right? I don't like waiting in traffic. Bridget will tell you, I buy her a Christmas gift, I give it to her like the day I buy it. Because I don't like to wait. I'm so excited to give it to her. I got to give it to her right now, which means on her birthday, I buy it 10 days ahead of time. I got to give it to her, and that means on her birthday, I have to go buy something else. Right? I don't even like to wait to see the end of Netflix shows, right? Don't tell her, but we watched The Crown together last night and finished it. I finished it 3 days ago. Because I couldn't wait. I woke up at 3 a.m. and watched the last episode 2 days ago and then sat there with her last night pretending I didn't know what was going to happen. Forgive me, please. It's because I don't like to wait. If you don't like to wait, then Advent is for you. Advent is our time to say to God, we're tired of waiting. We don't want to wait anymore. Would you come? Come into the fullness of this world and help us set it right. Come. How many times have you just prayed that prayer? God, come. I've sat in hospital rooms with people who have no other answers to the diagnosis they've just received and all we sit there and say is, come. God, come. In whatever way you need to come right now, would you just come? I've sat with people who've waited for depression to lift off of them and have gone to years and years of trying to figure it out. And we just say, God, would you just come? Would you just come? I sit with people who said goodbye to a loved one and they say, when? When is it not going to be so lonely? And all we can do is say, God, would you come? I go and visit these nursing homes, and they're just lined up with people who are saying, would somebody come? Would somebody come see me? Would anybody come visit me? God, would you just come? Come be with us. 700 years after the prophet Isaiah wrote those words, reminding us that we yearn for Emmanuel, for God to be with us, Matthew penned his gospel and said, that in the birth of the boy named Jesus, that we believe God came as close as God is ever going to come. And that in Jesus and the kingdom that he came to create, we know what it feels like to have God with us and God among us. It's important to remember that it isn't just Jesus that we're waiting for, but it's the kingdom and the world that Jesus came to create that we're waiting for as well. For it's not just the person that matters. It's the community that they are going to build. It's the administration that the leader is going to put up underneath him. And remember what Jesus came to build and what Jesus came to create. In fact, every Sunday, you might not even realize it, but we pray the line of Advent every single Sunday when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And when you say, God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Come right now, because we are still waiting for this world to get set right. We are waiting, God, for a world where the inclusion of the weak and the wounded and the left out and the left behind and the stranger and the foreigner are welcomed. And God, we are waiting for a place where net worth doesn't determine somebody's self-worth. And God, we are waiting for a world where people of different ages, races, genders, and backgrounds can come together and be seen as equals in the eyes and sight of each other. God, we are waiting for that world. God, we are waiting for a world where our enemies are not defeated by the sword, but are won over by our love and our prayers. One bicycle at a time, one bike helmet at a time, one box of food at a time, one stuffed animal at a time. We are trying to bring the kingdom that God called us to be a part of right here on earth. And I don't know about you, but I am waiting for it, and I want it to come. I want it to come right now. This week, here in Royal Oak, my new hometown, I was reminded that we've still got a ways to go. It's easy to think that, you know, we live in a bubble and that my town is different than everybody else's town. And Royal Oak is an inclusive, community-minded place. I mean, we got bike lanes, for goodness sakes, right? I mean, we care. We got bike lanes, and we got yoga studios and craft beers and vegan restaurants, and we've got racial tension in our middle school. Right here. Right here. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come right here. So I walk away from that week saying, I'm going to do everything I can to invest in those kids who sit on these steps, so when they're like these young men up here, 10 years later, they're the ones sitting on these stairs telling you about the difference you made in their life. And they're the ones who are in their schools. When they see that happening, will stand up and say, that's not the God I know. And I learned that on the steps of my church, where they're trying to build a world that needs to come and hasn't fully come yet. So my only question for you, church, this morning is, how are we going to wait? How are we going to wait while this world that we are waiting for to come is still birthing itself? How are you going to wait? Are you going to wait with anxiety, or are you going to wait with anticipation? You know that person in your life who's always anxious, who's always waiting, who always feels like no matter what's coming next, it's going to be wrong? It's not going to go right. You have that person in your life. Some of you are looking at that person right now. Please look away, right? Don't point them out right here, right? That you're just saying, it doesn't matter how hard we work, it's not going to get any better. You can wait in anxiety for the coming of this new world. Or you can wait in hope. In anticipation. And you can start to live as if that world is going to come. So all I want to say this morning is come. Come, Emmanuel, come. Come into this world, come into our lives and help us set it right. Come to the places of war and bring peace. Come to the places of hunger and bring fulfillment. Come to the places of oppression and bring justice. Come to the places of abuse and bring protection. Come to the places of loneliness and bring friendship. Come to the places of brokenness and bring healing. Come to the places of greed and bring generosity. People, I'm working hard here. Help a brother out, right? Come to a places of hatred and division and exclusion and put us to work building the beloved community. Jesus, would you come? And while we're waiting for you to get here, would you mind if we lent a hand? Come. Come, Emmanuel. One box of food at a time. Let's build this world together.